broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, Happy Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Let's start the week by going up front to get the latest on Wisconsin politics statewide with Channel 12 political director Matt Smith on Point Taken.
Hey, welcome to the show on Monday. Yes, Kristen is off all week, so I'm not going to say it a billion times, but she is off all week, and she deserves it because she's a hardworking lady and there's a lot of things going on. So I encourage her, Matt Smith, to take a week off.
You did.
I did, because I get my vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
So I said, just take
That's
a week.
Good.
Just enjoy the summer, which is what we're in.
Now's the time to do it.
Right. Well, hopefully, with some severe weather forecast.
Yeah. Rest of the week looks okay. We'll get through today, right?
Yes. If you don't recognize that voice, it's Matt Smith, political director of Channel 12, host of Upfront, which we're going to spend some time on. I guess from the overview perspective, I know the sort of logistics of putting a show like that together, not on the TV side, but on the radio side, but I know you do a lot of pre-planning, and then you have to get those interviews done, and you package it, post-production. So by Thursday, you have a different show than the one that eventually aired on Sunday. Because we had a lot of drama, obviously Sarah Rodriguez, we talked about that last Monday.
Yeah.
All those campaign funds issues.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she drops out, and then Crowley comes back in. So just from the nuts and bolts perspective, how did that change your week?
Well, I'll give you a little inside secret. I was supposed to have Friday off.
Oh.
So we were working ahead a little bit on Thursdays, which I guess don't do that,
don't
right?
Don't do that ever
so
again.
So we had a really great show. We had it all set to time, and it literally blew up. So we had one show that was done, and then by Friday evening, we had a completely different brand new show that seeped into Saturday and getting content on. And as you know, I've told you, typically we tape up front on Fridays.
Right.
We finish it up on Saturday. We have to get it sent to all the affiliates across the state so they can air it Sunday morning. That's kind of how the Upfront network works. So we've had these chaotic, like, final Friday night into Saturday sprints. This was one of those weekends when literally the Rodriguez announcement followed by the Crowley, is he or isn't he? And then the Crowley confirmation and then the Crowley event all just kind of blew up. Not only the Democratic primary, just the news cycle in general.
So a couple quick things on that. The Crowley thing, it did come together pretty quickly because we not only had him coming back in the race.
Yeah.
And then the next day, was it the next day or the same day? Evers endorses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and we had the initial reporting on Friday that if Crowley, I had multiple sources tell me that if Crowley does get in, the governor will likely endorse. And clearly behind the scenes, once we saw the chaos that kind of engulfed the Rodriguez campaign for that week, those conversations clearly had to have been going on in the Crowley world, in the Evers world, to secure the endorsement, to line the endorsement up, to match it with the announcement if and when Sarah Rodriguez dropped out. And I mean, they have to be ready to go. There's not much time left in this race, right? Like, if she gets out and you get back in, which is an unprecedented move, you have to do it now for fundraising, to get your supporters back, to get back on the trail. I mean, there is not much time. Especially when some 70,000 people have already voted across the state.
I imagine the Rodriguez voters are disappointed. I imagine the Crowley voters, now their vote will count, at least in terms of this primary. So looking at it from the now five-candidate perspective, we have a front runner, right? Sarah Rodriguez was considered at one time the front runner or close to that.
Yeah, in the top three.
Top three.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And then David Crowley never really caught fire his campaign.
No.
But, you know, endorsements matter, I think, to some degree. Now we'll see how much the Evers endorsement matters in this race.
Yeah.
But, so adding him into the mix, now we have five candidates for your debate on Channel 12 on the 28th, I think 7 p.m.
Yes, a week from Tuesday.
Yeah. So how does that factor into all this? How does that change your preparation? How do you, now you went from what was four candidates?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have been five with Rodriguez, then down to four, now back to five with Crowley in. And Crowley's team he will be there.
And my take is always less is more when you have candidates, but you can disagree.
Yeah, I mean, we started with seven. So we're down from seven. Five is more manageable than seven, just in terms of sheer numbers and trying to have, a conversation. I feel like this debate is going to be a moving target literally up until 7 p.m. On that night. We want to be relevant. We're going to talk. I mean, we're clearly going to talk about what's happened over the last 2 weeks and whatever is going to transpire this week. Like, we need to be relevant for voters. And this is all part of the conversation. And our prep work, I think, will literally take us up to the time the camera light goes on at 7 p.m.
And that's my next question. We'll go to break here. We've got a lot of audio. Matt's here for the full hour today because there's so much going on with this race for governor in the state of Wisconsin. If you're not in Wisconsin, this is obviously consuming all the oxygen on the on the primary side, because the Republicans have their candidate, Tom Tiffany.
Yes.
That's a given, essentially, just pending the vote. But Democrats up in the air. And certainly I want to ask you from a journalist perspective, Matt Smith, after the break, what the Rodriguez dropping out and the Crowley thing brings into this race, where a lot of people think Francesca Hong is the front runner as we speak. But again, we have some polling information we're going to get to in the after the second half of the in the second half of the hour. We've got a poll that essentially, I'm not going to ever criticize Charles Franklin MU Law School poll, but
this is tough.
What does it mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, because it was before all this stuff happened. Matt Smith, our guest, political director at Channel 12, a Christianless week on the program this week. We'll still get through. We'll slog through, as they say. Thanks for joining us, as always. A quick break here on Point Taken.
Would you welcome David Crowley back in this race?
I think that the county executive ran a strong race, and should he come back into the race, that it gives voters another option, perhaps. However, I think the voters right now, many of them are with us, and we will continue to grow our momentum to win in August and in November.
Very confident response to your question. Great question from Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12, who joins us in studio for the full hour today. Francesca Hong, the perceived front runner, and again, based on some polling, votes have come in. Obviously, the primary come up next month. From a journalist perspective, how does this, do you think, change? What are you hearing about the math of this race? Five candidates trying just to be the number one candidate on Election Day, after Election Day, to be the person who goes up against Tom Tiffany for Republicans.
Well, the question is, how many undecided primary voters are there out there still right now, or has everyone made up their mind? I would guess there's still a significant chunk of undecideds, right? I mean, we're in the middle of the summer. This race has been ever-changing. But the storyline we're starting to see develop here is quote-unquote establishment Democrats.
That word was heavily featured on social media over the weekend and on TV.
And I feel like it is from now until Election Day. Establishment Democrats getting behind David Crowley in an effort to prevent Francesca Hong, the Democratic Socialist, from winning the nomination, because there's this group of Democrats who believe she cannot win statewide.
I heard commentary, I'm not going to say the source, that Democrats are afraid to have a Democrat socialist represent their party, because it's a different sort of variety of Democrat. You can argue that it's not a Democrat, it's a socialist. So that's that fear. Do you think, again, as a journalist, that that's driving some of this?
100% behind the scenes. This is why we're seeing the governor get involved. This is why we're seeing so many people behind the scenes privately. We're encouraging Crowley to get back in. Because don't forget, just a week plus ago, all those resources, if you want to call it establishment, moderate, whatever you want to call it, they were getting behind Sarah Rodriguez. If this financial crisis wouldn't have engulfed her campaign, we would have seen a lot more endorsements. I know for sure coming to Sarah Rodriguez. There was this effort to line the moderate wing, the establishment wing, whatever.
She was seen as
Sarah Rodriguez.
She was seen as
the one that was going to take on, whether it be Francesca Hong or Mandela Barnes, to win the nomination. And the argument was we need a Democrat like this to win statewide, because those Democrats don't believe the other two can do it.
Is there any chance, do you think, that Sarah Rodriguez endorses in this race?
That's a great question.
I don't see her doing that.
I
say her keeping out of the fray.
Yeah, right. And perhaps maybe the other candidates want her out of the fray at this moment. I don't know. I feel like I read something where she was asked that, or the campaign was asked that Friday afternoon, and they dismissed it, and didn't really answer it. But we'll have to see. But I think what has developed in the last 72 plus hours is this establishment versus others. We've seen Mandela Barnes this weekend saying, really going after the establishment, as Francesca Hong has in her own way.
So it's Barnes and Hong anti-establishment, and the rest, Brennan, Royce, Crowley, that are establishment in their minds.
I don't know if any of them would want to call themselves establishment at this point. Right. I don't know. And the whole thing is, like, there is this risk. Joe was on our show. Thank you for letting us steal him.
Absolutely.
Talking about how this could backfire. This could energize Francesca Hong supporters, Mandela Barnes supporters, the get rid of the establishment wing of the Democratic Party. This could fuel them like never before. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of the stamp of approval that some voters, you know, may see as a stamp of, well, you're not picking the candidate for us. And that's a lot of people how they view this Evers endorsement. Another candidate perceived as a front runner in many cases, including Joseph Peck, who was on our Friday show and your show as well. Mandela Barnes, let's hear from that candidate.
Well, I don't think the challenge is any different than it was before. As I mentioned before, it wouldn't matter if there were two people in the primary. It wouldn't matter if there were 20 people in the primary. We are going to be focused on Tom Tiffany and beating him in the general election. That's what I'm going to continue to be focused on.
This is, for me, the message of a guy who has been consistent from day one. He's always seen himself as the leading candidate. Yeah. And ready to go up against Tom Tiffany. Obviously fought hard against U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in this last Senate race. It's hard to argue with that approach, because to keep throwing people at me, I'm the guy.
From our first interview, when he first got into the race, to this moment, he has said the exact same thing. Our focus is Tom Tiffany. Our focus is the general election. Our focus is on winning in November.
The difference is, though, I think Crowley and Barnes, to some degree, although he was lieutenant governor, are sort of Milwaukee guys, right? So I asked somebody else this question before the show. The impact of Crowley has to be Milwaukee focused, right? Because he's a Milwaukee County executive. So whatever strength he has, he's going to draw from somebody, I would think. And maybe that endorsement means something, maybe it doesn't.
Well, and Mandela Barnes is sure not going to forget that David Crowley did not endorse him and went to Sarah Rodriguez as well.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think about that. All right, let's hear from, again, you can use the term or not, the establishment candidates, Joel Brennan, who I've argued, I'm not a Democrat, but if I was a Democrat, I'd vote for Joel Brennan. Let's hear what he had to say on up front.
The last thing that we need in this campaign are for there to be October surprises. We just lived through a July surprise in the last few days. And I don't think that as Wisconsinites that we can afford that. I don't think as Democrats that we can afford to put people up on the ballot in the fall who may have the liabilities that would have us not talking about the issues that are most important to people, not talking about health care, not talking about housing, not talking about child care, and how we do better by public education in Wisconsin. People need to know what they're getting.
Now, for me, and I don't expect you to comment on this, but he is the moderate in this race for Democrats. He is somebody that could have, if you're a Democrat in Hayward, Minocqua, Mercer, and you looking for a Democrat to vote for, that's the guy if you're a moderate. All the other reasons are why you'd support some of the other candidates. I don't see any signs that whatever the changes are in the cast of characters who are running, it helps Joe Brennan.
I don't know why some candidates gain traction and some don't, right? I mean, there's so many factors that go into any given election cycle. Joel's campaign would argue differently, but they seem to argue that they're gaining some traction, but he hasn't gained traction up until this point, polling in the single digits. But what we have seen him do is go harder after candidates like Francesca Hong, her position, her comments on defund the police. We saw David Crowley specifically, not by name, but in context, go after Francesca Hong in his speech when he re-entered the race. So we're really starting to see this. You know, a couple weeks ago, when we said this has been a boring primary, no one's talking about each other. Right. Well, here we are.
Yeah. And we still have two more candidates to hear from, Kelda Royce and the county executive of the county of Milwaukee, David Crowley. He is Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12, host of Upfront. Lots more to come. He's here for the full hour. If you have questions or comments, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talking text line. Yes, you're listening to Point Taken on 620 WTMJ.
Do you welcome David Crowley back in the race?
I have a lot of respect and affection for David, but I would hope that he makes the right choice for the party, which is that we should be moving forward. He has a very important job as Milwaukee County Executive. I can tell you that Democratic activists, donors, leaders, and in fact, folks who support me and folks who don't, do not want to see this field getting more crowded and more complicated for voters.
Well, she could drop out. This Kelda Royce candidate for governor. I guess. I mean, she's being very nice there. I mean, I don't know if there's any substance there to that quote. I want to play because we're playing all the candidates.
Yeah.
Let's hear quickly from Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He's the guy that sort of jumped back into the fray, making it a five-candidate race for the Democratic nomination. Let's hear from County Executive.
I talked to the governor, and he was willing to make the endorsement. And at the end of the day, we're going to continue to hit the ground as hard as possible. We know that it's not just going to take money to make sure we have the resources to focus on advertising, but also building the ground game needed.
Do you feel you have enough money to push to the finish line?
We're going to continue to do fundraising. You know, we suspended our campaign. We had about $315,000 cash on hand. But we're going to continue to fundraise, and we are building the momentum when it comes down to having enough resources to win this election.
I mean, it is what it is. He's decided to, he dropped out,
yeah.
And then not too long later, he came back in, obviously, because of the Sarah Rodriguez news that he had endorsed her, along with the other candidate. So I guess for me, that last piece, the money, the finances, they all kind of have about the same, right? They're not that vastly different.
No, they're not. And the question is, when we talk about money, how involved is Tony Evers going to get? His latest campaign report filing, he had about $1 million in the bank.
Yeah.
He's not running.
Yeah. That's a great point, Matt Smith.
Does that $1 million, does $500,000, does $750K, does that just...
Yes, that's an ad buy that the other candidates may not be able to achieve, especially at the critical moment of this junction of this campaign.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Smith and Steve on this Monday edition. Kristen is off all week. Lots more to get to, including a Charles Franklin poll that may not be relevant when it comes out. Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12, host of Upfront, which is where a lot of our audio came from as they worked through the candidates. I believe we went through all the candidates. So let's talk about this. This is sort of an amazing reality. So I have mad respect for what Charles Franklin and the MU Law School poll do. But let's be honest. They've done invested in a poll that now, I think is it Wednesday or Thursday?
Comes out Wednesday.
Yeah. It doesn't show the current makeup of the and all the dynamics of the race.
No.
So I don't know how you spin that, and I know you're not going to spin it, but it's like, what is that then?
Well, I'll tell you what Charles said.
Yeah,
I talked to him on Friday. So the poll, just to get everyone on the same page, they ended their interviews last Wednesday. So that was before Sarah Rodriguez dropped out and before David Crowley got in the race. They started the poll, I believe, the day after Crowley dropped out.
Okay.
So they had like one day of polling, which is, I don't think, really anything. So essentially they took David Crowley out of the polling because he had dropped out of the race at the time.
Unfortunate choice.
So you have this like incredibly highly anticipated statewide poll, the only poll from Marquette in the primary coming out Wednesday.
The gold standard.
And the gold standard in all sorts of ratings nationally and accredited. And so you have this poll now that is already old before it comes out. What Charles will say, and he caveated this without seeing the results.
Snapshot.
Yeah, it is a snapshot. Beyond that, and he had not seen the results when he said this, he said there will likely be a good number of undecideds, which can tell some type of story. He said, we also asked, of all the candidates that people selected, what would be your second choice?
Including Crowley?
I don't believe so, which is another flaw.
That would have been helpful.
So Sarah Rodriguez's second choice is everyone beyond Crowley, which is already flawed in and of itself, could give some type of snapshot of potentially where some of Sarah Rodriguez's supporters would go to as their second option minus David Crowley.
So I understand. So the Rodriguez selection could give an indication where those votes might go.
Yeah. Some of them.
Their second choice.
Their second choice.
So that will be part of the poll.
That's
helpful.
Don't believe David Crowley, though, was one of those options because he had dropped out of the race.
Which is the flaw in the poll.
Yeah. So it's not going to be the hype that it was, but I think there will be nuggets in there that people will be able to pull out. They'll have favorable, unfavorable for all the candidates. So all of the candidates except David Crowley, I believe, you will see how Wisconsin voters are viewing them. So there will be some tells, but in terms of this person is leading, this person is second, this person is third, this person is fourth, might be a little tough, other than potentially to see who's way up and who's way down besides David Crawley.
Did you ask Charles Franklin if there was an opportunity to do another quick polling before the primary?
No, that's a good question, though. But that's a question I should ask him and will ask him.
Yeah, because I would think it's several days, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could do it.
You could go into a field for a quick poll.
I know there's a cost factor here.
Yeah. There is a big cost factor. But Marquette did a snap poll when the tax relief deal failed. They did that quick, 48-hour, 72-hour. The problem is it's a smaller sample size. And when you're talking a statewide issue, one thing, but when you're talking Democratic primary voters, that shrinks it even smaller, just in terms of a sample size you would need to get accurate results.
I'm curious if they asked in the most recent poll that'll come out Wednesday, the number one issue that people were concerned about, did that come into?
Yeah, I think all of that will be in there. All the general questions.
Good. That's helpful too, because you can identify candidates to that number one issue.
Right? Yeah. So when you talk about the economy, inflation, and they're going to get their views on, and I don't know if Charles asked about policing or law enforcement or defund the police. He has before, but all of these big issues, that will all be there, and voters' minds likely will not have changed on those big issues based on who is in a Democratic primary or not.
Matt Smith, our guest on Point Taken. Kristen is off all week, but Matt does a great job on Channel 12 and also as a political director and also hosting Upfront along with Jaron Jordan. Last thing on this, do you think you have the debate July 28th, 7 p.m. on Channel 12? It's the only debate that all the candidates are going to be at.
Yeah, right? And they've done forums together and stuff, but yeah. I think like the only big primetime television debate.
And not to give away anything, but do you, and I don't know if this is how, maybe how these processes work, but do you sense a theme that you'll be talking about on the, is it an hour?
It's an hour.
That's quick.
It is very quick.
Not a lot of time to talk.
Yeah.
I assume, like the affordability question will come in there somewhere.
We're going to try to get to as much as possible. We're going to obviously talk about the state of the race, the candidate electability, and then we want to get to as many issues that are top of mind, right? Taxes, property taxes, education, the big issues that Wisconsinites are talking about headed into this election.
And someone will ask me, like, what's the format? Like, how, like, the nuts and bolts? Like,
yeah.
Like, how long do they speak?
So, we, like our other debates, we don't have buzzers. We don't have necessary time limits. Jaron and I moderate the time. We have a ton of people working behind the scenes to ensure the candidates have equal time. But we want this to be a conversation. If they want to talk to each other, we're going to let them talk to each other.
Because that dynamic issues can often be priceless in valuing the candidate.
Yeah. So no buzzers, no like 1 minute. We have told them they do know to keep their answers brief, and we will move the conversation along and move it and get other people in. But it is a little more free flowing, and we want it to be that way, because if they do want to, these are the five nominees. If they want to talk to each other, we want to allow them to talk to each other. It's not about us. It's about them.
Absolutely. And it's a great opportunity. So July 28th, 7 p.m., Channel 12, I would encourage you, if you're considering voting for one of the five candidates, this is your opportunity to really hear from them. Texter asks, so I'll ask, is there any other polling outside of MU Law School poll that may show the shape of the race closer to the primary date?
Yeah, there, and I don't know what, if any, will be released in terms of major polling. I know there have been some smaller polls, internal polls that the campaigns do that people have shown reporters like myself. And it always kind of shown, at least recently, Francesca Hogg, Mandela Barnes, Sarah Rodriguez in the top three, kind of fluctuating sometimes within the margin of error. But those three always came in as the top three. Will David Crawley replace that? I don't know. He had been polling not at the bottom, but near the bottom when he was still in the race, just in terms of single digits. Whether that changes now, I mean, that is the hope of the Crawley world and people who support him.
And not to belabor the point, but you made a great point earlier when you're talking about it's not just an Evers endorsement. If actual money comes from the Evers camp to David Crawley's campaign, how that might shape some of the last minute ads you see on TV promoting his candidacy. Matt Smith, as good as it gets, in Milwaukee, political director of Channel 12. We'll move on to some other topics in the next 17 minutes or so, right here on Point Taken, Monday edition, 620 WTMJ is where you're at. It is 10:46 on 620 WTMJ. It is a Monday. Potential some stormy weather tonight, which, frankly, as a guy who looks at my grass every afternoon and evening, I need the rain. You're probably just thinking that the same thing.
Yeah. Man, do you water it all the time?
We do water.
You do. Yeah.
Only the backyard primarily because really? We don't spend much time in the front yard. Okay. But we keep it at least so it looks somewhat, it's not dead.
I could see you being the gold standard. Everyone else in the neighborhood follows your, if you mow, then everyone else has to mow.
No, they don't follow my standards at all. But they, for a while I had the greenest lawn, but it's not the case. Because it's just hard. You got to have some rainwater.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about obviously the changing number of candidates.
Yeah.
Crowley in, Rodriguez out. That story consumed all the oxygen for a week and a half. Obviously, the Tony Evers decision on what he does with his funding. We have the big debate coming up July 28th, 7 p.m. Channel 12. So what stories or themes are you looking at in the next week or so as we sort of shape out this race?
I think it's going to be really unpredictable, right? Like, it was so chaotic the last, 70, 96 hours that... Is this week going to bring a little stability to this race? I don't know. Who's going to go up on TV? Who's not going to be on TV, right? Like, this is now the time where you literally have to spend if you want to get your message out. Francesca Hong has not been up on TV. She told me, I actually talked to her Thursday and Friday just because of all the chaos that happened. She told me one of those days that the campaign was planning to go up, but I believe she's the only major candidate who has not done an ad buy yet. So can you get through this in this new media landscape without doing a major television buy? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we talked off the air. She has not shown, and this is my opinion because I don't know the numbers exactly, an ability to pull higher than 15% in that range. There's more candidates back then, so that's a decent number.
And when you have 40, 50, 60% saying they're undecided.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about the Marquette poll. It will show us the undecided.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a number that people are going to pay attention to.
Yeah. And I don't think a Crowley in would change that dramatically. A Rodriguez out may even up that undecided a little more. I don't know.
Total non-journalist question, but.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated because we spend most of our time on the show, not all, but talking about politics. You obviously spend a lot of time, you're the political director.
Yeah.
The number of undecideds, I think, is starting to tell us something in politics, a level of discontent.
Yeah.
Maybe candidates that aren't as prominent as typical candidates of the past. Do you have a takeaway from that number?
Yeah. No, I mean... it's summer, right? And everyone's so busy. Everyone's enjoying summer. And sometimes, a lot of times, the last thing you want to do is think about politics or talk about politics, right? Like in the last decade, political conversations sometimes have really divided people, right? So sometimes you may not even want to approach politics if you're out on the softball field, if you're out at the bar, if wherever you are on a Friday night, if politics may ruin your night, you may not even bring it up anymore.
I think that's exactly right because we go quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that even people approaching me, it's not about politics. It's more about other stuff. I think there's a kernel of truth to that, how widespread that is.
Yeah.
I know, but I also, at the same time, I know because I spent some time looking at social media both Saturday and Sunday nights. Wow. Wowza. There was every group of every candidate had a group of supporters who were just very vocal in all kinds of posts and formats.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and there is this social media world.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the real world sometimes, right? Like those two can be completely different places where you exist. And if you get sucked into that online social media world, right? Like it can spiral and spiral and spiral. And the conversations that happen there aren't really always the conversations that you're having face to face with people.
Whatever happens in the primary, we may be surprised, we may not be surprised, but then it all starts over again because we have Tom Tiffany against whatever Democrat they put up.
Yeah, and this is the benefit of having no primary at all, right? Like, Tom has been able to raise millions of dollars and kind of just sit back and watch this. No one has really gone after him. That's going to change August 12th.
Yeah. Lots of excitement. We'll wrap it up with Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12, host of Upfront, along with Jaron Jordan. That's all after this first hour. We've got busy second hour as well. Some great guests. We'll do that next on 620 WTMJ. A couple minutes left with Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12, host of Upfront. Now, we're not going to talk about politics here because I was watching in a break, and they had the cast of The Odds, some of the main Matt Damon and Anne Hathaway. And I asked Matt this question in a break. What was the last movie you saw in a theater? And you can even remember.
I honestly couldn't tell you. So it's been, and my first job was working at a movie theater. I love movies.
As what? Like a ticket taker?
All of it. Tickets, concessions.
Where was this at?
Yeah.
Some local chain theater?
Yeah.
Did you sell popcorn?
Oh, yeah. And then the best part is you get to bring all the extra popcorn home at night.
Hey.
At the end of the night.
Every time I have Greg Marcus on?
Yeah.
I see. Dude, bring some popcorn in.
It is the movie theater popcorn is the best popcorn, hands down.
There's something going on there, right? Because I can make popcorn at home. Oh, yeah. It's not like that.
The salt, the butter. Yeah.
It's so good. All right, so The Odyssey is the big movie.
Yeah.
This thing's going to do $1 billion or more. You're going to go see. I mean, you got three daughters. So you're busy.
It's almost 3 hours long, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know if I could find 3 hours in my life right now to go sit and watch a movie.
Because you're watching softball games and all that stuff.
I was at the softball diamond all weekend long.
Like, solid.
Oh, yeah. Beginning to end. Well, 8 a.m.
You had decent weather.
Literally 8 a.m. on Saturday, I think 8 a.m. to 8:30 p.m.
Here's a news story. I heard this on the way back from I was in Illinois over the weekend. They actually canceled Sunday's Renaissance Fair.
Really?
Because of the air quality.
There was chatter at the tournament about just concerns about it and watching it about, and all the games went on. But yeah, those were like real conversations happening all weekend, I think, for events all over the region.
You've been in news for a while.
Yeah.
Last Thursday.
It was crazy.
I've lived through a bunch of these. I've never seen anything like that. It felt like you smoked a cigarette when you went outside.
100%.
Yeah. So hopefully we won't get that back again.
No.
But it sounds like the weather is unsettled and we were looking at the radar. You can actually, I think the smoke is actually visible on the radar. Yeah. Somebody who's smarter than me will show me. Because that can't be rain yet because the rain's not scheduled until later.
Yeah. Well, and all the meteorologists will tell you smoke is, forecasting in and of itself is difficult. Forecasting smoke, they say, it is so hard.
Random question. Yeah. Were you ever called to duty to do a weather hit because no one else showed up?
No, I've never done the weather.
What would you do with that? You're just pointing.
I have to point.
Because that whole thing, trying to get that all worked out, the coordination.
The green screen is like, I don't know how they do it.
Do you work with the green screen at all?
No, usually not.
Yeah. It is confusing.
It is.
It's opposites, right?
Yeah.
And just, that's just a weird. All right, we had some fun with Matt Smith. Always appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out for an hour.
Absolutely.
We'll do it again next Monday?
Yeah.
All right, Matt Smith, lots to talk about with politics. We'll do it again. Do it after Dave Spino from Annex Wealth Management in the next hour. And I got a great exclusive interview with Sal Frelick of the Milwaukee Brewers coming up at the bottom of the hour. Next hour. Check it out. Break.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Annex Wealth Management CEO Dave Spano on Point Taken.
All right, nobody better to talk to than Dave Spano, who joins us. Hey, Dave Spano.
Hello, Steve. How are you, my friend?
I am good. Just trying to get through this smoky haze of Wisconsin summer.
Well, the rain, I think the rain's going to help later today, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That rain doesn't sound like it's a given, so we may be still watering our lawns. But I know as somebody who likes to golf, did you golf? You didn't tell me you didn't golf last Thursday in that smoky stuff.
Friday, Saturday. Okay. I was in a golf event. Yeah, it was smoky. It was okay on Friday, but for sure the grass is dry, not only in people's backyards, but on the golf courses, if anyone actually cares about those things.
All right, so let's talk about it. We often talk about big things that are happening with the markets and the economy. You always, on your Saturday show with your experts, talk about geopolitics. That's always there. I mean, certainly are always watching, looking at what's happening in the Middle East. We obviously have the midterm elections looming. What are your eyes and ears looking at as far as where we're going in the months ahead as far as those things?
Yeah, we can get into earnings, but I think let's start with your first part of your question, which is geopolitics and how that can affect what's happening with the economy. The obvious answer is this escalation that is happening between Iran and the U.S. could affect gas prices. Okay, and I'll just get to the story right away. Gas prices then will affect inflation. Inflation affects what the Fed policy is going to do. So as you jump in deeper on what's happening, it's not just what's happening with the Strait of Hormuz, but now the Houthis are going to try to go after Saudi Arabia, at least they say, and try to block the other straits. And so if a combination of those things happening, you will get, one, an escalation of the military experience, and number two, you'll get a rise in a rise in gas prices, which then may cause the Fed to do some things that we don't want them to do, namely raise interest rates. So that's the most important thing.
When was the last interest rate increase?
Pardon me? I mean, you don't want the Fed's
raise. But when was the last increase? Do you remember?
It was several years ago.
Yeah.
Remember when we had that 12% interest rates? We went from basically zero. We impressed the Fed funds rates up significantly over a number of period of times. And now we've started to keep that level. And so do interest rates come back down? And it's important because the Fed's expectation is you may see, and I'm going to use a financial term, 100 basis points. A basis point is 1/10 of 1%. If it goes down 100 basis points, that's 1%. So someone who's waiting on the sideline, for example, to get a mortgage, we're talking about 1% difference. So if it's at, you know, if it's at 7%, it's going to 6%. It's certainly not going back down to when everybody locked in their mortgages at 3%. That's not anywhere in the near future. But you could see interest rates come back down in the next 12 months or so, which could increase the real estate activity.
So when you're looking at that factor, and then the other one, and you and I have talked about this many times in the past on my previous shows, and even when I've been out at Annex doing webinars and the like, the impact of an election cycle. There's a historical way you can look at it, but this one obviously could be transformational if you're a Democrat. A lot of people are thinking that way. What do you see, you know, albeit a couple months yet, we have primaries here in Wisconsin coming up next month, but in terms of midterms, and what impact that may have on any of these factors you've just been talking about?
Yeah, so the geopolitical thing is one, but if you believe the, you know, and again, you know, it's hard to believe the polls after the last 10 years or so, right? But if you look at betting markets, the betting markets now say that the Democrats would win the House, but the Republicans would hold the Senate. And if that happens, there will be a lot of things that can come out of the House, like, you know, probably impeachment conversations again and all of that stuff if the Democrats take over. And secondarily, if the Republicans hold on to the Senate, they could keep a lot of the economic policies in place. So, but if, for example, you see a change in the Democrats to both in the House and the Senate, you could see a disruption in economics because there could be a change in a number of things economically. And that would probably roil the equity markets because, again, they're going to say, hold on a second. We just had our playbook in place based on what we know, the facts and circumstances. If those change again, then you've got to go back to the boardroom and say, how are we going to change these things? And that is disconcerting for the market.
With all the things we've just talked about, geopolitics, certainly elections and whatever historical or in the modern version of or leading up to the midterms, that's going to do. My review of the markets this morning, all of them up around 9 to 10% for the year. Is there any other way to look at this than a fantastic year of performance so far?
No. I mean, you look at what earnings gains were last quarter, 28%, expected to be above 20% next quarter as well. And we can dive down deep into that, you know, after the break,
yeah.
Steve, but there is really a lot to be positive of, but it depends on where you are in the market because there's a substantial difference between, say, for example, real estate and technology.
We'll do that deep dive with Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, after this on 620 WTMJ. Continue my conversation with CEO of Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano, AnnexWealth.com. Great starting place. Click the Get Started button, and you'll find that you'll get a lot of expert advice on all things when it comes to estate planning and your potential retirement and saving for all of that. Great resource, and all right here in Wisconsin and beyond now. All right, Dave, we talked about it before the break. Let's do a deep dive on some of this stuff, the sectors that are working, why the economy seems, at least the market performance side of that, it seems to be clicking so well.
Yeah, so again, it's the earnings that the companies are reporting. So far, and we just started earnings season, only about 9% of the S&P 500 companies have reported so far, but 88% of them have beaten. And that is a really good way to get things up and running. But it's where you are and where you're invested is which is the most important piece. Right now, about 50% of those S&P 500 stocks in the S&P are doing better than their index. Obviously, that means that the other 50% are not. So only 18% of those stocks are doing better, for example, in communication. Now, energy is doing well. Technology is doing well. But you look at some other areas that aren't. For example, let's just deep dive into technology. If you were in the software stocks, it's called SaaS, Software as a Service. If you were in those stocks, those were just crushed earlier in the year when AI suggested that they were going to replace some of the software companies, which seemed nonsensical that, for example, Microsoft and Salesforce were going to get replaced, but those on that rumor, those stocks got crushed. By comparison, you look at the chip companies, Micron and others, they're going through the roof. So you can't just say, I'm in technology. You have to know what parts of technology that you are in. Other ideas that, for example, that are working are the energy stocks. You know, you look at energy, and I'm looking at it right now, you know, they're running at 95% capacity here in the United States. You know, we are a net exporter of oil, and that's a fantastic thing. But you look at why their prices are up, and the prices are up because of the geopolitical uncertainty, not only in the obvious places like the Straits of Hormuz, but also with Russia and Ukraine. And because of that disruption, you're starting to see a backing up of oil prices. They went from over $100 a barrel back down to 60, and now are heading back up. And it certainly doesn't look like this accord that Iran and U.S. is trying to put together has any legs, at least as of right now.
I imagine that as someone who's an expert in financial planning and you know, investing and all those things, and looking at the analysis that you guys do it to such exquisite detail at Annex, you get a lot of questions about artificial technology and technology in general. And so what's your basic elevator speech on that? I mean, obviously, a balanced portfolio, we heard you say it thousands of times, that's the key to being a smart investor. But so many people are – my brother-in-law, Jeff, drives me nuts on this stuff. Like, what are you hearing about SpaceX? And I saw that they're now below their initial IPO. You know, I don't know. I read the news like you read the news.
Right. So here's the elevator speech. If you can – have a portfolio, and if you're building it yourself, if your brother-in-law Jeff wants to build it himself, he should have at least in, you know, a hand grenade's distance of what the sector is, okay? If he's in 100% tech, for example, and he's putting all chips in on SpaceX, one day that is going to come calling for him, and he's going to be a sorry guy. I mean, I can tell you, I've been doing this 40 years, and there is always a reversion towards the mean. And so, yes, technology is having its day in the sun, and I don't know, it could run for another couple of years. But that doesn't mean that you should overweight it. You know, most portfolios, if you say, for example, and it's more than this, but say 25% of the index is in technology, maybe 25% of your portfolio, not 100%. So somewhere in the neighborhood of a balanced portfolio for sectors, and then within the sectors, stock selection is key. You know, if you want to go and buy a name in technology, you should know what they do, why they do it, how much they're earning. All of those things are important. Fundamentals are important. And so I want to make sure that people don't get crazy and try to overweight their portfolio, because I've seen it before.
Any last minute things you're watching this week as far as market performance, earnings reports, and the like?
Yeah, you've got, you know, the Fed is going to be interesting. I think the new chair is thinking about not having post-meeting conferences. That would be a big deal. That's something that I haven't seen in 50 years. So we'll have to see if that actually happens. So one, how the Fed reacts, what their reporting is. Number two, and not necessarily in this order, how earnings are reacting. And number three, if we get even a worse escalation of geopolitical uncertainty.
Always appreciate the wisdom, the sharing of your wisdom from Annex Wealth Management. CEO Dave Spino, we'll talk again.
Thank you, my friend. See ya.
All right. After the break, part one of a special exclusive interview with Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Sal Frelick. Two-parter, both parts today. That's coming up after the break. Welcome back to 620 WTMJ. Steve Spitty on this fine day. We are joined by Brewers outfielder Sal Frelick. He's got a great new event, the inaugural event, Game Night with Sal Frelick, benefiting Best Buddies Wisconsin, presented by Community Care, Inc. Welcome.
Good morning. Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us about this event, why you're doing it, what it is.
Yeah, I'm pumped up. Best Buddies is an organization that's super personal to me. Growing up back in Boston, they were a big part of my life in high school. And then when I was finally out in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, I ended up reaching out to the Wisconsin chapter out here and just built a relationship with them and the kids, and just had been trying to plan something for them. You know, had them out to some games and whatnot, but thought I could do something special. So, yeah, I'm pumped to kind of get this thing underway for the first year.
Yeah, I've also had a relationship with Best Buddies for a few years now, raised some money for them, and I agree. It's an outstanding local organization, does some really, really great work. So tell us what it is. It's at the New Fashioned, which is a great place, Thursday, July 23rd, 4 to 8. People are going to be hanging out with you and all the folks from Best Buddies. What is it exactly?
Yeah, we're going to have a ton of games set up for the kids to play, food to eat. It's really cool as a ton of my teammates are actually going to come too, which means a lot to me, you know, and I'm sure the kids, but I'm pumped for that. So people are going to be able to, you know, it won't just be me there, but, you know, some of my teammates, and it's just going to be a great night. But yeah, it's, I think we got limited tickets and sponsorships left. So yeah, just look out for that.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to just give you the website real quick. It's gamenightwithsal.com. You can get all the event information, and you got some great partners, including we're here at the Third Street Market Hall right next to us here at 620 WTMJ. You've got Carnivore, Calderon Club, the awesome work that the Brewers Community Foundation does. Of course, we mentioned Best Buddies. What you mentioned your Boston roots. What is it about Best Buddy that just syncs with what your goals are in life away from what you do on the baseball field?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could sit here and be like, you know, I went out and sought this great organization because, you know, it aligned with, but it was really organic how it happened in middle school and high school back home in Boston. They were just incorporated the Best Buddies program with the students. So, like, you know, you'd see them at lunch, you'd see them in the halls, they'd be at all the sporting events after school and stuff like that. So I actually just became friends with the kids, you know, before I even really found out about Best Buddies. And then once I found out about the organization and, you know, found out there was a way to put on a prom for them and put on a Special Olympics, like, it was a quick join for me and some of my buddies in high school. And so I think that's how I first really got involved. But it was really not, you know, look at this cool organization, I'm going to go join, because, you know, for whatever reason, I became friends with a lot of the kids in school growing up and around town. So, that's kind of how it started. And I know that when I came out here and I was just kind of looking around for stuff to do off the field, a little piece of my life was missing there. So I quickly looked up to see if there was a chapter out here. And believe it or not, there is a pretty big one, and was super pumped to get connected with them.
Yeah, you obviously work for a great organization, the Milwaukee Brewers, and I mentioned the Brewers Community Foundation. But it's really more than that. As we've watched this team this year, first place team, it is a tremendous story. Obviously, leadership matters, from the administration down to the manager and the coaching staff. That is all part of the same story, right? Everybody's focused on the same goals, whether they're on the field or in the community. I love that about the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm playing with, you know, 25 of my best friends. Like, and I know everybody feels that way, like, for people who don't. Like, this team is just, I mean, we're so close. But that just goes beyond the clubhouse. Like, we love going out in the community. We love the fans. We love the city. We love the state. Like, it's truly, like, the word I keep using is love, because that's how we all feel about it. And I know I can speak for my teammates on that. And yeah, no, but we our jobs go past the field, and, you know, especially when we have as good of fans and a community as we do, it just makes guys want to go out and do stuff. And so I would say everyone is super like-minded in that sense.
That was part one of my interview with Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Sal Frelick. He has a great event. We're gonna hear part two after the break. They got a special guest coming in to talk about this Best Buddies initiative from Sal Frelick. I'm going to give you this website address a few times, because it's a really easy way to find about all the event information that we're going to find out in detail from a guest in a little bit. But it's simply GameNightWithSal.com. GameNightWithSal.com. I've worked with Best Buddies. I've told you about that before. It is a tremendous, tremendous organization. And no surprise, the Brewers always do the right thing, especially on the field, but also away from the field. And their relationship with the community is one of the reasons I love their story. And you'll hear some of that in the second half of the interview with Sal Frelick. So we'll get to that after the news. And then the special guest is going to talk specifically about the event night, which is coming up, I believe, this Thursday night locally here. So we'll give you all the details on that. It's Sal Frelick, one of the great, great ball players on this great, great team. First place Milwaukee Brewers, hello, with a clean sweep over the weekend. So how cool was that? Exciting Sunday game. Big home run to walk it off. So that's all coming up in the next half hour, final half hour of a Kristenless Monday edition of Point Take. Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Sal Frelick joining us. He's hosting the inaugural Game Night with Sal Frelick, one-of-a-kind fundraising event benefiting Best Buddies Wisconsin, great organization. Interactive games, food and drinks, silent auction, activations, appearances, as he said, from some of his teammates, and of course, Sal will be there. All part of the fun, Thursday, July 23rd, 2026, 4 to 8 at the New Fashion, great location. Let's get into you a little bit. I've talked to you. I think I've talked to you on opening day because we do the opening day broadcast on 620 WTMJ. I think I've talked to you briefly before the opening day, either last year or this year. But the Sal Frelick story. Tell us how you got here. How did you get to Milwaukee? What's your path has been?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I grew up in Massachusetts. Stayed close for college. Went to Boston College, just kind of where I always wanted to go. And then I was able to trick the Milwaukee Brewers into drafting me in the first round in 2021, which was a super special moment. Almost, I don't know, it was 5 or 6 years ago now, but yeah. And went through the minors here for about 2.5 years, and in July, almost a year now, in 2023, I made my debut. But yeah, I remember coming to Milwaukee for the first time, and you know, I'd grown up in a bigger city and whatnot, and I was like, this is smaller, and but just I really can't picture myself in any other city. I love it here so much. Just grown to love the city, the people, and especially the team. So it's been a blast.
You were talking about Best Buddies. It's going to benefit from your game night with Sal Frelick. But tell me about Wisconsin. What do you love about Wisconsin?
I mean, I'll tell you, the people are extremely nice, especially coming from Massachusetts. Like, I don't think I've ever been honked at yet, which is great. There's not a ton of traffic going to the stadium from downtown. But, man, the people are so nice. I mean, you know, just coming up and, you know, they just want to say hi a lot of the times. And, you know, I could go 0 for 30, and people will come up and say they like watching you play.
Yeah, let's not test that, though, Sal. Let's not test that.
No, don't worry. But I think just for the type of player I am, I couldn't be happier anywhere else, where I think the fans here really care about, you know, hustle and hard work and making sure that's the product on the field first and foremost. So I know me and all my teammates take that to heart, but we really do love the fans here.
Describe your style of play. Like, how do you approach the game?
Yeah, super, super gritty, I would say. And, you know, I've never been the most skilled, just always going back to, you know, T-ball almost, but every team I was on, I was never the most skilled or flashy. It was kind of just, you know, some little guy who was trying to catch an eye of making a play at some point during the game, whether it was on defense or offense, and kind of just ran with that going to high school and college, and even now just making sure that, you know, I don't always want to be the most flashy, but definitely want to make sure I'm out hustling everybody, and that's just how, you know, my parents have always taught me to play the game.
Yeah, I was actually watching my grandson Max play a 10-year-old ball tournament. They won the tournament, but I was telling Max between the games, and it was hot. It was like 85 degrees. They had 3 games to play that day, and I'm like, Max, it's just a grind. You just got to show up, do your job, do the best, and you got to stay with it. And that's really what I love about this Brewers team, because they just grind it out. You get bad news, doesn't matter. We're still going to win. I love that.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I would say the last, like, 2 weeks before break, I wouldn't say we were playing our best baseball like maybe we were earlier, where we were just showing up and, you know, beating a team by 5 runs. You know, we were struggling a little, and I remember saying, man, it's a big testament, because we were just winning, you know, we were still winning by maybe 1 run, or we would sneak 1 run across in the 9th to win a game. And sometimes that almost, you know, goes further, I think, when I'm thinking about a team, than just showing up and being able to beat a team by 5 runs, you know, when you don't have your stuff that day on the mound, or you feel terrible in the box. Like, I feel like this team is just able to find a way for, you know, our pitchers still to get outs, or our hitters to still find a way on base somehow and win a game, which I think is just a testament to us.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm glad that you're going to benefit Best Buddies Wisconsin. Game night with Sal Frelick. It's a one-of-a-kind fundraising event. It's got everything, man. It's got interactive games, food and drinks, silent auction, activations, Brewers players, including Sal Frelick, Thursday, July 23rd, 4 to 8 at the New Fashion. It is a great event. Best Buddies is the best organization. I'm glad I've partnered with them in the past. It's all presented by Community Care, Inc. Thanks for joining us, Sal.
No, thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
All right. Have a great event, and have a great second half of the season. So far, so good.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, take care. And thanks to Sal Frelick for sitting down with us last week, and he's a pleasure to talk to, and obviously people love him. He's one of my wife's favorite players on Brewers. And as someone said here in the building, a stud, too. So if you're a fan of players' appearances. He's got all that, but he's a super nice guy. And he's working on an event, which I want to explore a little bit. As you know, if you listen to my show or previous iterations of the show, I've worked closely with Best Buddies. It is a fantastic organization doing great things. And our guest in studio, Jennifer Wachowiak, joins us to talk about this great event. So first of all, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So you heard Sal talking about this thing. You do a lot of work with local teams, obviously, state teams, and these significant events. What's unique about this one, do you think?
Oh, this is, I can't even, I'm so excited for it. It's on Thursday. And
it's the first one for him.
It's the first one for him. And, you know, I've been part of Best Buddies for 7 years, but Sal's been part of Best Buddies a lot longer than me.
That's what's cool about it.
But this event is really exciting. And I, you know, I'm taking a look at some of the items that are up for auction.
I want to get to that. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's reset.
Yeah.
We're talking about the event. It's an unbelievable night with Sal Frelick and I'm guessing a lot of his buddies on the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah. They're going to be there.
Yeah. So it's game night with Sal Frelick. It is Thursday, July 23rd. That's this Thursday. 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the New Fashion. We're going to give you all the deets and all the fun stuff that can happen with our guest, Jennifer Wachowiak from Best Buddies. That org is certainly a big part of this night because that's who it benefits, and they do some great work in our community. Let's take a break on Point Taken on this Monday edition right here on 620 WTMJ. This is one of my favorite non-political topics. We're talking about Game Night with Sal Frelick coming up this Thursday, July 23rd, 4 to 8 p.m. at the New Fashion, and Jennifer Wachowiak joins us in studio talking about this great event, helping Best Buddies Wisconsin. So let's start with the basics. What is it? What will they expect when they go to it on Thursday?
Fun.
Fun?
Yeah. Just fun. Games.
Okay.
What kind of games? Playing games? Well, I heard there's a hole-in-one game.
That's always fun.
There's bowling.
Really?
Yeah. I have not been inside the New Fashion yet, so I
have not either.
But I heard there's a lot of games. There's going to be silent auction items.
Yeah, let's get to that in a second because I want you to detail some of the things you have. So it's 4 to 8, so you got plenty of time to meet everybody. We have heard there's going to be a lot of Sal's teammates there.
Yes.
Which is also very cool.
Very cool.
And whenever somebody was reaching out to me like, do we get close to the players? Well, I assume you get close to them because they're going to be there.
Right.
I wouldn't jump on them because they have a season to finish, but get excited in the proper way.
Right.
And I'm sure that the folks at Best Buddies and the New Fashion will sort of orchestrate all of that. Is there food at the event, you know?
Yes, free food and drink is
cool.
Part of the ticket.
And then I'm going to give this website a couple times. Game Night, N-I-G-H-T, with Sal.com. Game Night with Sal.com. All right, let's talk about that silent auction.
Yes.
Give me just a rundown, if you know, some of the things we're going to be up for sale.
There's a lot of raffle baskets with a lot of local donated items.
I saw the list of donators. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Tito's.
Oh. Gotta love
it. Big sponsor.
One of my favorite summer drinks.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Tito's and tonic.
Yep.
With a lime.
Yeah. But the live auction items were pretty impressive as well.
All right. What do you got?
A dinner for four. At Carnivore with
Sal. That's the steak place.
Yes, with Sal and his friends.
Are you serious?
I am not kidding.
So at Carnivore.
Carnivore.
Premier Steakhouse.
Right.
With Sal Frelick and his friends.
Right.
And how many people get to go to that with Sal?
Four.
Four people. So two couples or family, whatever.
Right.
That's insane.
Insane. I already know some people who are planning on pulling their money together to bid for that.
I mean, that's well done.
Yes. A couple different players, jerseys that are signed.
Love that. Is one of them the Miz? Do you want to
Miz?
Are you serious?
Cheerio. Got him. Got the players.
Why is it not surprising that Best Buddies have pulled out all the stops on this thing?
You know, this is not the Best Buddies. This is the players coming forward.
I want to highlight that because you have an individual story we're going to get to after the break, but I love the fact you work with a lot of the sports teams in Wisconsin. Let's be honest about that. But the way they step up for the community, we always talk about the on-field performance.
Yeah.
Brewers, Bucks, Packers, Admirals, and I'm probably missing a bunch of other teams, but they understand the link between what they do on the field, but also the community. I love that with this.
Definitely. And I think this has a lot to do with Sal. Sal has been, a true friend of Best Buddies.
And he talked about his personal connection in the interview.
Personal connection, but he has shown up. We have an annual tailgate every year at the Brewers early in the season, and he comes out before the game. Rain or shine, and it was a bad storm that day, and he came out beforehand and greeted us at our tailgate. And it was amazing. Waits and takes his picture with everybody who's out there. He comes to our walk, our annual walk.
Which I've emceed on one occasion, which is also significant. It's earlier in the year, but it's massive turnout.
Exactly. We have over 1,000 walkers that come out. He greets us. Has his,
he's a greeter.
He's a greeter. has his picture taken. Greeter. Yes. But he is amazing. And he understands the mission, and he loves it.
Before we go to break, tell people out there who may not have heard of Best Buddies, because we have listeners everywhere. We had a long-distance text from Lucerne, Switzerland today, which is Dennis and Stacey, thanks for a long-distance listen. Who is Best Buddies? Who are Best Buddies?
Best Buddies is about friendship. And it's about including people of all different individuals who may have disabilities and including them and making sure that they have friends.
I was so proud to be a champion for them a few years back, and I probably will be again at some point. I love the work they do. And I was telling you the story before we started that I was asked to do something in the community, and then I asked my wife, because she's done a lot of things beyond what I've done. And she said, Best Buddies. That was the best decision I ever made, is to partner with them. It's just such a class organization that's such amazing work for so many individuals. And I want to talk about the individual connection you have to that story with my guest Jennifer Wachowiak after this break on 620 WTMJ. Love talking about Best Buddies. This one is a great one. We had Sal Frelick on the show earlier. And if you missed any or all of that interview, it'll be available on the podcast page. And if you were subscribed to a newsletter, you would have got it early. We gave it to you yesterday. So one of those perks of being a newsletter subscriber. All right. It's called Game Night with Sal Frelick, benefiting Best Buddies Wisconsin, presented by Community Care. The sponsor list, and Jennifer Wachowiak is joining us in the studio. Third Street Market, right outside the door here. Brewers Community Foundation, no surprise. Carnivore, Calderon Club, Coca-Cola, Johnsonville, Lining Kugels, New Balance, obviously New Old Fashioned, the O'Connell family, Palermo. I mean, it's the standard, the gold standard. Tito's, you mentioned Trade Hotel, Wisconsin PGA, all those golfers, Woodson Whiskey, tremendous sponsor list. But you have a personal connection to this Best Buddy story, and I want to explore that with you. Why was it so important for you to be involved with Best Buddies?
Well, I have a niece that has Down syndrome, and I was concerned, you know, when she was younger growing up, I wanted to be included, and I wanted her to make friends just like everybody else has friends. And you know, I was looking for an organization that I could volunteer, and I found Best Buddies and it started volunteering. And as part of Best Buddies, as an adult, they paired me up with an individual my age, and that was 7 years ago. And I have a buddy myself, same age, and this individual and I, we do things in the community.
How cool is that?
Oh, it is a blast. We go to festivals, we go to movies, we shop, we go out to dinner on a regular basis. I know what she likes to eat. she's a big shrimp.
What's her first name?
Chris. Yeah.
Well, Chris, hopefully Chris is listening.
And Chris will actually be at the event on Thursday night with me.
All right. So the event, Game Night with Sal, GameNightWithSal.com. It's a tremendous event. Live auction, silent auction. It is a tremendous thing that you're doing for Best Buddies. It is a great organization. And Jennifer McCoy, I always appreciate your visits. The second time that we've done an in-studio thing. So thanks for coming in.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
All right. I'll be back tomorrow. Kristen-less edition, but a special guest co-host tomorrow. The news is next on 620 WTMJ.